Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Awesome. We are in our series that we're calling Identity, and we're going to be spending some more time in this. 2 weeks ago, I kind of set us up for really thinking this next year about being a child of God. And what does that look like to be a child of God? And I encouraged you, I challenged each of you to wake up each morning and to remind yourself this next year, the entire year, to remind yourself that you are God's child. Do you remember that? How many of you have been doing that? How are we doing? Awesome. Okay, let's get that number to raise, right, kind of go up a little bit more. Let's get a few more of you to just kind of like lock on to that. That waking up each morning, and that's all I'm challenging you to do. It's this simple. To wake up, and before you go pee, before you go grab your phone, before you do any of that, that you would literally open your eyes, and the first thing you do is just, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm telling you, it'll be a game changer in the way you approach this next year, in the way that you think about this next year, in the way that you interact with this next year. It's a game changer when you remind yourself on a daily basis, I am God's child. That was my encouragement to you, okay? I left you kind of with that phrase. Last week, I unpacked for you this idea of God being our guide who walks us through the traps of life. Remember all the mouse traps up here? And Mr. Ben making it safely through with Josh's help, which was awesome. And it was that idea of listening to the voice, to listening to the voice of Jesus as we're in a culture and in a world where so many voices and so much going on. Today, I want to talk to you about some things that are connected also to identity, especially this idea of self-worth or value. Okay, self-worth or value. In our reading today, I want you to just be listening for where I might be going as we think about value or self-worth. Okay? So here it is. Genesis chapter 1, all the way at the beginning of the Bible. If you have your Bible, you can open up to Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And I'm going to start reading from right about there. And if you don't have a Bible, just a reminder, we have a bunch of Bibles in the back. Those are free for you. If you need a Bible, grab a Bible. We have some kids' Bibles back there too, if you want to grab a kids' Bible for your family. Okay, here goes. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds. And everything that creeps on the ground, page turn, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now listen. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive into this. Heavenly Father, open up our hearts and our minds right now. I pray that you would help us to not only hear with our ears, but hear with our hearts the things that you want to tell us. God, I think of somebody that's going to be impacted, especially by this today. And I just think of how this message for some is just going to kind of be a blow-by message, and it'll be food, and it'll be nourishment for some people in here. and they'll be able to walk away a little bit nourished and all that kind of stuff. But then I think there's somebody in here who's going to be impacted by this in a way that drastically changes the way they're thinking about life, the way they're thinking about who they are, who you are. And I pray boldly, God, that you would begin to do that stirring in that person already. Stir in all of our hearts. God, help me to simply share the things you want us to hear. Not a word more, not a word less. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I've been tossing this football up here, right? Just tossing it around. No big deal. Tossing the football. Packers are playing 5:40 tonight. It's going to be awesome. Some of you guys, you know, I don't know, you could go out to eat, just do something. You don't even have to watch football anymore. That's kind of nice. But, you know, I'm just tossing this football. And my gut feeling is that none of you have ever, in any point of this, maybe you've been annoyed that I've been tossing a football because you're like, oh, that's so disrespectful or something like that. But probably nobody has ever had the thought, I'm really nervous about the football. Nobody's probably had the thought, I'm nervous about the football. Because even if I like drop the football, not a big deal. So if I'm just toying with it, or I'm doing the little Bible reading, or I'm doing the prayer or something, no big deal, right? But, okay, now if I take my daughter, okay, and I'm just kind of, you know, I got you. Yeah. And I'm just kind of, you know, and I'm just kind of, you know, just, we did talk about this kind of, but she didn't understand either. I didn't know how this is going to go. But, you know, if I were to just toss my daughter around, if I were to toss my daughter Ember around, like, you know, I mean, obviously I didn't get too crazy there, but I could have. I want to respect Jackie a little bit there too. If I were to just go tossing my kid around, some of you, especially moms, you know, some of you dads are like, go a little higher. Let's see how high can she touch the ceiling? You know, some of you dads. But moms and you grandmas and stuff like that, you're just like, oh my goodness, is he going to drop? What's going to happen? And all this kind of stuff. And the question I really have is this. How valuable are we? That's my question I want to kind of pose. How valuable are people? Now, if you've kind of just raced through this already in your mind, and you're already just kind of like, well, people are really important, Seth. Okay, done. Let's go home. Let's get to the restaurant a little quicker today. Well, let's just stop and let's just think about it. Let's just unpack it a little bit. How valuable are people? Why is it that I can toss a football around up here and nobody is even nervous one bit, but then you take a person and you start tossing a person around, and it's just like, oh man, what? Oh man, a little bit nerve-wracking. Because we know people are valuable, right? I mean, we know that. How valuable are we? We're very valuable. But within the Christian kind of story, I just want to ask why. Within the Christian narrative, within the Christian worldview, why is it that people are so important? Why is it in any worldview that people are important? Actually, asking that question and digging deep, whether your worldview simply be a scientific worldview or whether your worldview kind of be a more materialistic worldview. There's lots of different ways to kind of think about this. But however you might be thinking about life in the world, where do people fit in? Where do people fit into that? And within Christianity, within the kind of biblical worldview, what we would call reality, the real story of reality that you and I are part of, where do people and how do people fit in? How valuable are people? How valuable are we? Genesis 1:27. We've been made, here it is, we've been made in his own image. The Latin there, you know, if you want to look up some of this stuff and just go study, it'd be the Imago Dei. It'd be the image of God. Okay? And theologians, and there's so many books on this. There's so many commentaries on this. There's so much different thought out there. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? What does that actually mean? So God creates man in his own God, this is God now, in his own image. What does that mean? I mean, is it just like looks? Is it physical? Is it like, what does that mean to be made in the image of God? And what are the implications of that? Now, I'll be honest with you. I think when I preach this a sermon like this in like 40 years, I think I'm going to just make, it's going to be such an awesome sermon. Like, I'm so excited for my 40 year from now sermon. But because I don't fully get this myself. I'm still wrestling through this myself. And as I've looked at different commentaries on this, there's different things that kind of get highlighted. And you'll have a guy who'll say like something like, well, you know, these three big things are what we can pull away from this idea of being made in the image of God. I don't have three things for you today. I don't have four things. I don't have two things. I have kind of one thing that pops for me as I think about what does it mean to be made in the image of God? And to me, the thing that I can just say, just like, boom, this is true. And I think there's a couple other things we could say that are true, but the thing that really popped for me this week was how valuable we are. How valuable people are. To be human is a big deal. And there is, there is intrinsic value in you. You have intrinsic value. You have value that is simply there because you are a creature, that you've just been created. You're valuable. Today, I want you to walk away from today with this idea and this knowledge that you are valuable because you have been made in the image of God. Now, the question then quickly is, well, that was in like perfection. So what about now that sin is in the world? We actually get a very telling verse that helps us a lot. It helps us a lot. It comes from Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, where God is talking to Noah, and God says, he gives this command that whoever would shed the blood of man, whoever would bring murder to murder somebody, then by man shall his blood be shed. And then he says this, for God has made man in his own image. Now, this is fascinating, actually, and let me tell you why. Because in perfection, in Adam and Eve before sin, it's kind of like, yeah, of course, they've been made in the image of God. But then they sin, and there's brokenness, and the image gets tainted, and so the question quickly becomes, have we lost the image of God? Do you see that? Have we lost it? Do we still have it? And this verse really starts to help us to understand that even in sin, there is an imageness. Although it's been tainted, although sin has now come and has infected it in a way that has kind of brought corruption to it so that man now would die and man now would labor and toil. And now when you mow your lawn, you're sweating and it's just annoying. Well, or you're just in Texas. But some of this is the curse. Now women give birth in pain. You can go read about some of this in Genesis chapter 3. But there is still, even in a sinful world, there is something about each of you, as I look out at you right now, you unique-faced people. Isn't it amazing? God has this much. Look at how much God has to work with. And there's 7 billion people, 7 point whatever, 3 billion people on the planet. God has this much to work with. And we all look different. Go try to draw a picture sometime. And then try to draw another picture. And just give yourself this much. And then try to draw another picture of like a human face. And try to make up 100 of them that don't look. Look at how different we look. Just how unique we are. I mean, literally, even as I look out at you right now, there should be awe and amazement at how valuable we are to God. You and I, just being made in his image, whatever that all exactly means, and there's a lot to it, we're incredibly valuable to him. We're incredibly valuable. And I share that because we don't feel like that, do we? We don't always feel valuable. And we've said about ourselves, I'm a piece of, you know, we've said those things about ourselves, or we've said about ourselves, I'm a nobody. Nobody cares about me. I'm not special. I'm not unique. I don't have gifts. I don't have abilities. I'm fat. I'm skinny. I'm not pretty. I'm not successful. I'm not this. I'm not this. I'm not this. I'm not this. And God looks at us and says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're talking as if you own you. But what if my image is on you? What if you're my creation? What if you can't even say that about yourself because you're not your own? What if you've actually been made in my image? Well, then just think about how valuable we really are. We have value. We have intrinsic value. As I was thinking about this past week, I was thinking about the times in my life where I have moved the fastest. When have I moved the fastest? Man, when my daughter starts to fall off of a chair, boom. You ever see that? Go check it out. YouTube dads, like awesome dad moves or something like that. Dads that'll just like catch their kid like this or something and just, you know. And a kid's like falling out of a chair and just no big deal. Why? Because there's value there. Just the other day, my family and I, we were down here at the feed store off Knox Road, right? Kind of just north of Kingwood Drive. No. My goodness, North Park, whatever. Doesn't even matter one bit where the feed store is. None of you care. Oh, my goodness. Okay, we were at the feed store, and we were looking at some of the goats and stuff like that or whatever, and all of a sudden, Jackie, there's a train track that runs right there kind of by the feed store, and Jackie's like, hey, I think somebody just got hit by the train. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I just saw a ton of, like, car parts fly up in the air, and there was a train that just went by. So I literally jumped. I just was like, okay, watch kids, and I just took off running. Because I was like, man, and Jackie was even like, I think there's already people there. But I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, if they need another, you know, a guy to help move a car, I have no idea what's about to happen. But I want to be over there. And so I just ran over there, and I jumped across. The train had already stopped. It was on the other side. I could see a truck had just gotten totally demolished. And I jumped over the train, like the little link stuff. I just climbed up on top and went over the top and went down on the other side. And there was a bunch of people just standing around. And you just kind of help the best you can help. But why? I wouldn't have cared. But there was a person there. There's a human being over there, a couple hundred yards away. That's not good. I gotta be over there. I can't be right here. I got to be over there. And you guys would do the same thing. I mean, you do the exact same thing. Or I think of the times in my life where, you know, we're just the value of human life just goes through the roof. And you're just like, there's a person there. Or the time I was on the snowmobiles up with a couple of my buddies up in Pennsylvania, and we came across this snowmobile accident. And the appropriate people were there, and we just cut the engines because it was like, we're not going to tear off out of here. We just sat, and we just watched this guy die. You know, and we just in total awe of first responders doing their best they could do, and we didn't know he died that night, but later on we found out he died, and he had wrapped himself around a tree. I don't know exactly how it all went down, but we came across that accident. There's just such silence and respect in that moment of just like, this is a human life. We're just going to pray, and we're just going to... And that night when we rode home, I mean, we were running 100 miles an hour through trees and all this. That night going home, we were going about 5. Right? Because all of a sudden, the value of humanity just goes through the roof. How valuable are we? And today, I just want you to know how valuable you are. How valuable you are to God. As being part of his creation, as being a creature. See, God has put his image on you. He has put his image on you. He has put his image on you. He has given you the authority to rule over creation, to have dominion over it. Many of you I see being ruled by your animals, but not in my house. I'm just kidding. My dog knows who's the head one. But there is a kind of rule over even your very dog or your cat or your lawn when you mow it and you bring it down a little bit. As we have kind of this dominion over creation that God has given to man and woman, to humanity. He allows us to rule. I think that's something that could actually come out of what does it mean to be made in his image. There's actually an aspect of ruling and reigning that's actually part of it. To be able to take care of his creation. That we have the ability to interact with the things that he has created and he loves so dearly. And he says to us, I want you to care for it. I want you to nourish this and be part of this. And maybe even be part of helping create in this. I mean, it's incredible stuff. It's incredible. And I think there's something about this. I'm going to lose some of you here, but that's okay. Matthew chapter 22. Okay, when Jesus was asked to summarize the law, okay? When Jesus was asked to summarize the law. Now, Micah, in the law, there's about 613 laws that Moses gives, okay? When different prophets or different people like David or Isaiah try to narrow it down, let's just bring it down to a few less, right? And let's just not 613, kind of summarize a little bit. Micah says to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Okay, kind of a summary of the law. Jesus is asked, summarize. And it's fascinating. And I kind of got this past week watching a guy named Ravi Zacharias, who's an incredible theologian, philosopher that I kind of like to watch and just listen to as he kind of thinks and talks about different aspects of our world. But one of the things that he brought out that I'd never seen before is in this text where Jesus says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. You've all heard that a million times. But this is interesting. He says this. He says, Jesus could have said only one. He could have narrowed it down to love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in a very real sense, that captures everything. But he doesn't stop with one. He goes to two. And he says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. With that simple move, I've never looked at this text like that before. With that simple move, he elevates humanity in an incredible way. And he says, not only do I want you to love God, but I actually want you to love people too. Do you follow that, what impacted me? Maybe two people are going to be impacted by that, but when I think about the very fact that he includes the love of humanity, it shows how valuable we are. See, that's not every worldview, folks. That's not every worldview. Do you understand that? Do you understand that if you have a simply, purely scientific, now I'm not talking about science and being bad or good, I'm talking about purely a scientific worldview, that you have to, at the end of the day, concede that the beginning spot is one of randomness and electrons and protons in our bodies. You can go look at this. You can go look at leading philosophers, leading all sorts of things, that you have to, at the end of the day, concede that you are simply randomness and chain reactions of stuff happening. You, and this fits exactly with where we are as a culture today, you have to create your own value. You have to say about yourself how valuable you are, but you don't actually believe yourself because you don't feel valuable. And so you just keep trying the best you can to be like, I am really important. I am really smart. I am really beautiful. I am really this. I am really this. I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And our culture says, keep doing that. Keep doing that. I can tell you, I went and looked at this leading psychologist. I don't know if she's leading. Adrienne Gooden. She did a TED Talk. I went and watched her TED Talk. She's a psychologist at the University of Chicago and now at Northwestern University. These are the four tips she gives for self-worth and self-value today. This is what she would tell you. Number one, forgive yourself. Number two, practice self-acceptance. Number three, be there for yourself. Give yourself a hug. No, I'm not making this up. Give yourself a hug. And the fourth one is actually a fairly decent one. Connect with supportive persons. Connect with supportive persons. Which I would actually argue what she means by that, what she probably means by that, is connect with people who will be okay with you telling you whatever you want to tell yourself in those first three. Does that make sense? This is fascinating. This is fascinating. This is what so many of us are being taught by our culture around every corner because it's all it has. It's not built on anything substantial. It's not built on the Imago Dei. It's built on, we don't have anything else. Everything is chance. Everything is just chaotic. Everything is just, who knows? So the best thing we got is to turn inside of ourselves. This goes back to our last series in December. Make ourselves king. Make ourselves God. We then, with that authority, with that power, come out and say, I am awesome. But we don't even believe it ourselves because we know that's not true. Because we know we don't feel valuable. So it's just this repetitious cycle. Let me tell you, this is fascinating. You don't even have to be a Christian today. Okay? You don't even have to be a Christian for me to say this to you. Take a serious look at the Christian, what's being presented by the church today. Take a serious look at our world and our culture and ask yourself, is actually what Jesus is saying actually helpful for me as I try to make sense of this world? I remember talking to a guy at the gym who had a very, very, very messed up worldview. And it was just a worldview that he pushed back on anything where we would just be valuable in because of being a creature. And it was interesting because one of the questions I asked him was, what do you think about the shooting that happened down in Florida? This was a while back. And you actually get to a point where he's like, it doesn't affect me. Because it's way over there. And as I was hearing this, I was like, yeah, because humanity isn't valuable to you. For the Christian, have you ever been moved to tears because of what you've seen on the news? I know I have. I don't know these people. I don't have a clue who they are. And you're just like, oh my gosh. It's humanity. They're dearly loved by God. They're valuable. It's a person. It's a person. And I get it. I get it that there's sin in the world. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. You make mistakes. We have tainted the Imago Dei. We have tainted that in our own lives. We have. And now there is pain and sorrow and bloodshed and there is brokenness around every corner and there is disease and sickness and people do get hit by trains. And all that now happens in this broken world. But this is why Jesus came. This is why he came, because of how precious you are to him. And he had to up the ante. With the Imago Dei being tainted, he had to even do it better. And this is kind of cool. As I think about this, I'm just kind of blown away. From 1 Peter, I want to read this to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And this is kind of here how I'm going to end here, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Listen to this. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds. Conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. There's the taintedness. You were ransomed from from your forefathers and their ways, not with perishable things. You were not ransomed with perishable things. You were not bought back with perishable things, but you were not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious. You were bought, you were ransomed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I love that. I love that because how valuable, man, you're so valuable that Jesus would actually be willing to shed his precious blood for you. How valuable is his blood? How costly is divine blood? And he sheds it for you and for me. And the world looks at that cross situation. Go read the cross scenario. What's the most valuable thing in the eyes of the world? At the cross. The most valuable thing is the garments that Jesus was wearing. Do you remember the soldiers casting lots to get his clothes as the God of the universe is dying? He had something of value to them, his clothes. They casted lots. Some took this, some took that, or however it went down. As the Son of God is dying, dripping precious blood for those very people, for those very soldiers, because even they have been made in the image of God. Wow, that's a game changer. This message changes everything. The way we interact with people. The way we see people. The way we see our coworkers, even when they're an absolute pain in the butt. They're people. They're a human being. The way we interact in our families. Do you treat your spouse as someone who has the image of God on them? Do you treat your kids as my kids don't seem like they have the image of God always on them. But they do. What about that family member who's just your cousin that's just keeps being a total goober? What? The image of God on them? How we interact with people? How we share with them how precious they really are, that Jesus would share his valuable blood for them to make them new. Today, ultimately, if you're a believer in Jesus, I want you to leave here knowing that God is renewing you. He is making you new. He's conforming you to the image of the Son. And through his Spirit that is at work in you, he continues to make you look more and more like him. But today, if you do not believe in Jesus, I want you to know that even you have been made in the image of God. You have been created by him. His image is on you. And as you reflect on that and think about that, maybe reject that or however you might kind of go. My prayer will be, when I go to the car later and everybody's gone, my prayer will be for you that the Spirit of God would open you up to see your Creator in a new way. That he's your Creator, your Redeemer and Restorer, and he loves you like crazy. You are valuable. Not because of what you say or feel about yourself. Not even because of necessarily what somebody else says about you. But because of what God says about you. And because of you being his creature. Let's pray. Lord. This idea of being valuable is truly incredible. And I thank you for this opportunity to just talk about that today. To be able to talk about how valuable humanity really is. Not because we're so special, because we've done a bunch of good things, because we're really working hard. Nope, not at all. Actually, every time we try to work hard and make stuff happen, we make things worse. God, we are simply valuable because you've created us. We're your creature. And you love us so much that you'd even be willing to bring us newness of life, to bring us forgiveness for sins, to bring us restoration of our bodies one day, to bring us all sorts of just gift upon gift. And I just thank you for that. Lord, bless each of us as we go from here today. May we know, may we be reminded that we are your child. Your image is upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.